If you've been joining with us over the last few weeks, you would know that we're into the book of Chronicles. And we invite you again on your Bible app this morning to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 10 to 14. I declare to you that the Lord himself will build a house for you when your time comes to be with your ancestors. I will raise up after you your descendant, who is one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will not remove my faithful love from him, as I have removed it from the one who was before you. I will appoint him over my house and my kingdom forever, and his throne will be established forever. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst in my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, and happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. am forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King. You are my King. You are my King. Are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I believe in Jesus. I believe He is the Son of God. I believe He died and rose again. I believe He paid for us all. I believe He is here now, standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now and the grace to forgive. You died and rose again. I believe you paid for us all. And I believe you are here now, standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now and the grace to forgive.
Good morning, my friends. We're so glad you could join us for worship today on Whitby Online. And we're continuing our look into the book of Chronicles today, 2 Chronicles chapters 21 to 23. And Ezra here is telling us some good news and some bad news. Well, I've got some good news and some bad news for you today. The bad news? The world is full of bad news. The good news is our world has always been full of bad news, and bad news never prevails. Hallelujah. You see, history is like that. Wait long enough, and good news always triumphs over bad news. On Good Friday, our Savior died. That was the worst news in history. 3 days later, he rose again. That was the best news in history. And on top of that, he ascended to the right hand of the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit to live inside us. And he launched the church, you and me. Bad news is always followed by good news, because the forces of good in the universe are always stronger than the forces of evil. Ezra writes stories. Real life stories with real life lessons. And one of those stories was a bad news to good news story that involved mayhem and murder over three generations. During its worst moment for 7 years, the people had no hope. And you and I, we've been wrestling with hope for months now. Ezra's people wrestled with it for decades. How did they cope? And how did God rescue them? Well, that's the story I want to tell you today. Now, are you ready to do some learning? If you are, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, speak to me. Amen. Now, open your Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 10. And this takes place during the reign of King David. And that's what Donette read to us a little earlier. There are two promises in this passage. One is that there would always be a descendant of David ruling over the nation of Israel. And the second was that one of those descendants would rule God's kingdom forever. In other words, that the Messiah, the forever ruler, would be a descendant of David. The Israelites knew this, and Satan knew it as well. Satan is not all-knowing, but he's exceedingly crafty and creative. And when this prophecy is given, he clues in that the Messiah must come from the lineage of David. Now, Satan knows that God must be true to his word. He knows that if he can extinguish the line of David, he can prevent the Messiah from coming and saving mankind from our sins. And in 841 B.C., Satan seizes a strategic opportunity to eliminate the line of David. And here's how it happened. A little history. God promises that David would never lack an heir to the throne. And God promises that an heir of David would rule God's kingdom forever. Now, fast forward from that 150 years to the King Jehoshaphat's reign. And we studied him last week. Now, during the course of his reign, Jehoshaphat made what seemed to be an expedient decision to secure an alliance with his greatest threat, which was the kingdom to the north, the northern kingdom of Israel. Back in those days, a common way to seal alliances was for the two kings to marry their children to each other. In this case, Jehoshaphat married his son Jehoram to the king of Israel's daughter, who was named Athaliah. At this time in history, Israel is divided into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom is simply called Israel, and the southern kingdom is called Judah. The northern kingdom was ruled by a king named Ahab. The southern kingdom was ruled by King Jehoshaphat. Ahab, in order to secure his northern border, had married the daughter of the king to his north. That kingdom was called Sidon. Its king was named Ethbaal. The word Eth means with. And anybody want to guess what the word Baal means? Well, the word Baal means Baal. Baal was the fertility god of the Canaanites. Ithbaal was with Baal. He was a worshiper of Baal. Ithbaal's daughter was named Jezebel. You may have remembered her. She's infamous for worshiping Baal and corrupting pretty much all of northern Israel during the time she was its queen. So Ahab, king of Israel, marries Jezebel. Together they had a daughter, and they named Athaliah. Meanwhile, Jehoshaphat and his wife had a son they named Jehoram. Now, to cement their alliance, Ahab and Jehoshaphat married their children to each other. This meant that the wife of the crown prince of Judah was not a follower of Jehovah, but a Baal worshiper. Everything went along fine until the day that Jehoshaphat died. On that day, Jehoram became king, and Athaliah became queen. Now, Jehoram's first act as king was to do what no Israelite king had done before, but what most pagan kings from places like Sidon usually did, and that was he killed off all his competitions, his brothers and his relatives, so that none of them could threaten his right to the throne. 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. You can call this the law of unseen consequences. If you marry someone who's potentially dangerous, you might not see that something dangerous is going to happen in the future. So when Jehoram became king, he killed off all of his brothers. He eliminated all the competition. Suddenly, out of all the descendants of David, there's only one direct descendant. That's Jehoram, along with all the sons that he will give birth to over time. Well, later on that same year, in 841 BC, Jehoram dies in battle. Ezra's comment in verse 20 was, he died to no one's regret, and he was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Now, often when a king dies, his kingdom is vulnerable because the neighboring nations know that the new king will be young and inexperienced. So that's when they attack. And the attack happens. Judah is invaded by her neighbors. 2 Chronicles 21, verse 17. They carried off all the possessions found in the king's palace and also his sons and wives. Not one son was left to him except Ahaziah, his youngest son. The Philistines killed all but one of Jehoram's sons, Ahaziah. Here's where our story officially begins. The kingdom and the messianic line are hanging by a single thread. 2 Chronicles chapter 22 opens up with, then the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place, because the troops that had come with Arabs to the camp had killed all the other sons, so that Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, became king. He was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah. A few months after his coronation, Ahaziah is killed in battle. Well, no problem. He had sons and nephews all over the palace, but they are all young and powerless. The person closest to power was the Dowager Queen, Athaliah. She's not Jewish. She's the daughter of Jezebel. She's not a worshiper of Jehovah. She worships Baal. This is when Satan launches a strategic initiative. When Athaliah, Ahaziah's mother, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to annihilate all of the royal heirs to the house of Judah. When Ahaziah died, Athaliah killed all the royal heirs, 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 10. The king is dead. His descendants are dead. The Davidic line is dead, and with it all the hopes for a Messiah. This is the Good Friday of the Old Testament. Baal has triumphed. Satan has won. This, friends, is the bad news. All was dark. All hope was lost. For 7 years, Judah lived under the rulership of a foreign queen worshiping a foreign god. She was the COVID-19 of her day. If you lost your job, you know how they felt. If you're depressed, you know how they felt. If you're frustrated, irritated, or angry, you know how they felt. The person in charge of their state, their nation, has driven a stake through the heart of all of their hopes and dreams. Well, do you know that God is really good at situations like that? Let's watch this story unfold. When Athaliah, Ahaziah's mother, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to annihilate all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. Now, Jehoshabeth was the daughter of King Jehoram and the wife of the priest. Since she was Ahaziah's sister, she hid Joash from Athaliah so that she did not kill him. He was hiding with them in God's temple for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the kingdom. Then in the 7th year, the priest summoned his courage and took the commanders of hundreds into a covenant with him. They made a circuit throughout Judah. They gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the family heads of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. Then the whole assembly made a covenant with the king in God's temple. The priest said to them, "Here is the king's son." When Athaliah heard the noise from the troops, the guards, and those praising the king, she sent the troops in the Lord's temple. The commanders and the trumpeters were by the king, and all the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing the trumpets, while the singers with musical instruments were leading the praise. Athaliah tore her clothes, and she screamed, "Treason! Treason!" Then the priest sent out the commanders of hundreds, those in charge of the army, saying, "Take her out." So they arrested her. And she went by the entrance of the horse gate to the king's palace, where they put her to death. Finally, triumph! The forces of darkness seemed to be in control. Satan had won. Good was defeated. Evil had overcome. But what seems and what is and aren't always the same. Friends, the God of the Bible is the God of good news. He's the God of the rescue. He is the God of the living hope. He is the God of the second chance. He is the God of the comeback. He is the God of the do-over. With him, there's always a way out of the darkness. Dreams of the Messiah were dead, and then there was a resurrection. Sorrow may remain for a night, but their joy comes in the morning. Athaliah annihilated all the royal heirs, but 7 years later, it was discovered that one heir survived. Talk about rejoicing. Ezra is recounting Israel's history so we can have and learn lessons during our time in history. And Ezra is letting us know that there is war in heaven that's playing out on earth. That war is more real than the Iraqi war, the war in Kuwait, or Vietnam, or Korea. Ephesians 6, chapter 12 says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens." Which might explain why you're feeling the way you're feeling these days. What you are feeling isn't just about a virus or injustice or a quarantine or being shut in. Something deeper is going on in our world every day. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 is followed by verse 13, which says, "For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist the evil day." The armor of God is faith, hope, and righteousness, and the truth of salvation, and God's word, and the Holy Spirit. Stand firm in those, friends. Trust God and believe what he says, and do what he says. Then joy will come in the morning. Hallelujah. Israel is teaching us that God always has plans. And those plans are to build up, not to tear down. That's what Satan always has plans for, to tear down. But God has plans not to tear us down, but to build us up. Ezra is also teaching us that God always wins. The Athaliahs of our world may rule for a while, but never forever. Weeping may remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And my friends, morning is coming. Say that after me. The morning is coming. Now say it like you mean it. The morning is coming. Hallelujah. Satan is always working to defeat God's plan, and he's never going to succeed. And the moral of the story is God always wins. So stay close to him, and you will win too. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a Christian today, I hope you will affirm your wholehearted commitment to the Lord by saying, Lord, all that I am is yours, and all that I have is yours. If you're not yet a Christian, I hope that you'll give your life to the Lord today by praying this, Lord, all I am is yours, and all I have is yours. And pray this prayer today with me. Lord, today we are laying down every alliance in our lives that would keep us from being totally devoted to you. We lay down that thing, whether it's a habit, a hurt, a hang-up, an addiction, a relationship, or a false belief that keeps us from closeness to you. And friend, right now, would you just pray this simple prayer out loud after me? Lord, all I have is yours. Lord, all I am is yours. If you're a Christian, say out loud, I belong to the Lord. If you're not yet a Christian, say, today I give my life to the Lord. May God bless you today.